الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين وأصلي وأسلم على رسوله الأمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحابته أجمعين وبعد إن شاء الله today which is the 15th day of March 1997 corresponding with the 7th day of Dhul Qa'dah 1417 Hijra, he had Masjid Muslimin after Salatul Asr. We'd like to begin the subject of fiqh of nikah with the topic of al-khitbah. And al-khitbah, which should not be confused with al-khutbah, and they're the same word, they're spelled the same way. Kha, ta, ba, ta al-marbuta, except that al-khitba has a kafra on the kha, and al-khutba has a dhamma on the kha. Al-khitba is commonly known as engagement, and commonly known as engagement. And we'd like to begin with the explanation of al-khitba. According to the scholars of Islam, al-khitbah, or linguistically we should say, as the Arabs say, خطب الرجل فلانة خطبا وخطبة, that a person addressed a young lady, or a man addressed a young lady with a certain type of address, meaning that he requested of her marriage. He requests of her marriage. And the person that requests marriage or seeks marriage for her is called a khatib. A khatib. Kha, alif, ta, ba. Khatibun. والخطب الذي يخطب المرأة وهي المخطوبة. And the woman that is being sought or requested of marriage is called المخطوبة. The مخطوبة. المخطوبة. So the person who is seeking the marriage is the خاطب, and the one who is being sought is the مخطوبة. In common language, we call the خاطب the suitor. The suitor, the young man who goes after the woman, is called the khatib, or in English is called the suitor. And the woman is called the makhtuba. So the word khitba linguistically in the Arabic language is طلب الرجل امرأة للزواج, أي ليتزوجها. It is the man requesting the woman or seeking a woman for marriage. That is the linguistic meaning of al-khitbah. As for the religious meaning of al-khitbah, al-istilah al-fiqhi, the religious meaning of khitbah is iltimas nikah al-mar'a. It's simply the seeking of a woman for marriage. And Imam al-Shafi'i, or I should say the Shafi'iyya madhab, they say al-khitba iltimas al-khatib al-nikah min jihat al-makhtuba. They say that it is the suitor seeking marriage by way of the makhtuba, the young lady who is being sought. This word al-khitba is commonly confused with being intended. And the word intended, as the Muslims in America say, I'm intended to sister so-and-so, or I'm intended to brother so-and-so. This expression is an expression used by American Muslims, and I don't know anyone else except for the Americans or the Muslims in Britain, in general, the English-speaking Muslims in the West, who use this terminology. We weren't able to find this expression in the book of fiqh. and the word that is commonly confused with it is in khisba or intended, which is a two different words. The person who is engaged is different from the person who is intended. As for the hukum of al-khitba, the legal ruling of al-khitba, some of the scholars of Islam say that al-khitba is, the hukum of it is al-ibaha, is that it's permissible. That in the engagement is permissible. As for Imam al-Shafi'i, he says that it's mustahab, that it is highly recommended. Al-khitba, or engagement, is highly recommended. It's highly recommended. And it seems as though that the statement of it being highly recommended is more suitable. More suitable and more proper than the statement or the opinion that says it's just permissible only. As for the hikmah of the tashri'ah, hikmah to tashri'iha, the wisdom behind the legislation of al-khitba, or engagement, the wisdom behind the legislation of engagement from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wisdom is the offering or the presentation of the opportunity, the sufficient opportunity for the woman and her family and her, or her guardians to ask questions from the khatib or from the suitor, and that the family may get to know, and the woman may get to know, or the wali or the guardians may get to know some of the aspects and characteristics of the suitor. For instance, his deen, his character, and his background, etc. Things like this. Another reason from one of the hikmah, or the hikm, the wisdom of a khitbah, is it affords the opportunity of the khatib to know something about the woman, of which he wasn't able to find out before the khitbah. So when the man, and the man in most cases, is going to be the one who's going to be seeking the woman, because in most cases, the man is seeking the woman. The woman is not seeking the man in most cases. He will be able to establish some questions, to present to her questions about herself, about her family, and if anything should be missing from those questions, then that time during the khitba would allow them to get to know each other and to get him, for him to afford him the opportunity to know a little bit about her character and that about her natural, her personal traits and her characteristics, and also the characteristics, which is important, and the character, not characteristics, but the character and some of the traits of her family, some of the disposition of her family. And this is important. And even if he has to go and send some of his family to check her out, preferably the women of his family, of course, from, and more importantly, the women of his family, to check her out, this is very, very important. Because if something doesn't please him, then he can withdraw himself from this khutbah, from this engagement, or she will be able to reject him. Or her family, or her guardian, will be able to reject his offer of engagement. As for if there's any agreement and pleasure, and if there's any for lack of better words, tranquility in their hearts, I would say. Any tranquility in their hearts for marrying this man or allowing this girl to be given into marriage. If anything happens like this, then this one of the ways to determine if this is going to work or not, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, will be from the period called the khitbah. As for the time of khitbah, there's nothing that we see from the Quran and the Sunnah that stipulate how long they should be engaged, but it seems from the spirit of the Sharia that they should not prolong it. Wouldn't you agree, Abdul Rahman? That they should not prolong the engagement? They should get married as soon as possible? You don't agree with that? Oh, okay. You do agree. Alhamdulillah. During the khitbah, or during the preliminaries of the khitbah, it's permissible for those people who are responsible to seek counsel or to seek advice. Al-istishara. And al-mustashar, the person who's seeking the advice to give this girl into marriage, or the person who wants to seek the girl, the khatib wants to seek the girl, this would not be considered ghibah if he were to ask about some things, or she were to ask about some things about him. This would not be considered ghibah. And some of the scholars of the past, they've given some examples of this, and we'll see them inshallah later on. Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullah, he says concerning the mushawara, seeking counsel during the khitbah, seeking advice or seeking mutual consultation. And he said, وَمِنْهَا الْمُشَاوَرَةُ بِمُطَاهِرَةِ إِنْسَانِ وَيَجِبُ عَلَى الْمُشَاوَرَةِ أَنْ لَا يُخْفِي حَالَهُ بَلْ يَذْكُرُ الْمَسَاوِيَ الَّتِي فِيهِ بِنِيَّةٍ نَصِيحَةٍ بِنِيَّةٍ نَصِيحَةٍ. And this statement of Imam al-Nawawi is taken from the book called Dalil al-Salihin, which is one of the explanations of Riyad al-Salihin. Imam al-Nawawi says concerning the permissibility of talking about someone, about their bad qualities, which we consider ghiba or backbiting, he said, and of the things that is permissible, because the scholars of Islam said there are six cases in which backbiting is not backbiting. Backbiting is not backbiting. Or censoring someone, or finding fault in someone, or asking about someone is not backbiting. And of them, Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullah, the author of his 40 hadith, and also Riyad al-Salihin, and some other great works, he says, and of them is al-mushawara, seeking counseling, seeking advice. Al-mushawara fi mutahirati al-insan, when a person is trying to become a relative of another person through marriage, when a person is trying to get married. He says, it then becomes incumbent on the person who is being sought, the advice is being sought about, or the qualities or characteristics of that person is being sought, not to hide anything about that person's situation, but rather that they mention the shortcomings and the defects of those people, or that person, I should say, with a niyyah of seeking advice. This is considered nasiha. Should not be considered backbiting. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. As for al-istikhara, and we all know that al-istikhara is very important, some of the scholars of Islam say that al-istikhara during the khitbah is highly recommended, if not obligatory. Imam al-Bayhaqi, rahimahullah, the great scholar of hadith, in his collection called Sunan al-Kubra, with a chain from Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, one of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Imam al-Bayhaqi in his book of Sunan al-Kubra has collected a hadith and extracted a hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اُقْتُمُ الْخِطْبَةِ ثُمَّ تَوَضَّأْ فَأَحْسَنَ وُضُوءَكَ ثُمَّ صَلِّ مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكَ ثُمَّ احْمَدْ رَبَّكَ وَمَجِّدْهُ ثم قل اللهم إنك تقدر ولا أقدر وتعلم ولا أعلم وأنت علام الغيوب فإن رأيت لي فلانة وتسميها باسمها خيرا لي في ديني ودنياي وآخرتي فاقدرها لي، وإن كان غيرها خيرا لي في ديني ودنياي وآخرتي فاقدرها لي. This hadith, which is attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it says that he says, conceal the khutbah. Conceal the khutbah. In other words, keep it hidden. Keep your intention hidden from making the khutbah. Then make wudu. And make the wudu, make your wudu perfect. As perfect as possible. Then pray that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for you to pray. Then praise your Lord and glorify and magnify Him. Then say, O Allah, surely You have power and I do not have power. You know and I don't know, and You are the knower of those things hidden from our view, or the unseen. And if you realize that this young lady, and then you mention her name, is good for me in my deen and in my dunya, meaning in this, my deen and in this world and in the next life, then give me ability and power to have her. And if you see that there's something other than her, better than her, in my deen, in my life of this life, and in my next life, then give me power over her, or give me the ability to have her. This hadith, as we mentioned, is in As-Sunan al-Kubra by Imam al-Bayhaqi. And this hadith, as our Shaykh al-Muhaddith, the scholar of hadith of this era, Muhammad Nasruddin al-Albani, says this hadith is da'if. It is not acceptable. It is a weak hadith. It should not be used. But some of the scholars of Islam say that the man should still make al-istikhara for the khitbah, for the engagement, because of the important aspect and important nature of marriage. As for as the istikhara of the makhtuba, the istikhara of the makhtuba, and the makhtuba is who, Abdul Rahman? The woman that's engaged, the woman who is being sought for marriage. And the khatib is who? The man who's looking for the woman, who's searching for the woman and requesting her. Who's the khatib? The khatib is the man who's looking for the woman for marriage. The makhtuba is the woman who's being sought. But who's the khatib? He's the one who does the khutbah. Then what's the khitbah? The khitbah is the engagement, and what's the khutbah? Okay. As for the istikhara tul makhtuba, as for the istikhara, or the prayer of seeking goodness and a decision from the woman who is being sought, أخرج الإمام مسلم في صحيحه والنسائي في سننه عن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه قال لما انقضت عدة زينب قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لزيد اذكرها علي قال زيد فانطلقت فقلت يا زينب أبشري أرسلني إليك رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يذكرك فقالت ما أنا بصانعة شيئا حتى أستأمر ربي. فقامت إلى مسجدها ونزل القرآن وجاء رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم فدخل بغير أمر. Imam Muslim has extracted and collected in his Sahih al-Muslim, and Imam al-Nasa'i has also extracted in his Sunan al-Nisa'i from Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, who says, when the iddah of Zainab had ended, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Zayd, mention her to me. Abdul Rahman, can you give me an English Quran, please? Mention her to me. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Zayd, to go and tell Zainab. mention her to me. And if any of your sisters who are upstairs has a copy of the Quran, English translation, which is Surah Ahzab, chapter 33, I believe it is, you'll be able to find, Alaykum Salaam wa Rahmatullah, you'll be able to find the ayah that we're discussing right now, or the hadith, I should say, and the verse that's pertaining to this ayah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Zayd, go to her, اذكرها علي, mention her to me, about me, or mention me to her. قال زيد, and Zayd said, فانطلقت, so I went, فقلت, and I said, يا زينب, O Zainab, أبشري, may you have glad tidings. أرسلني إليك رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يذكرك. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم has mentioned, has sent me to you, mentioning you. فقالت, she said, ما أنا بصناع بصانعة شيئا حتى أستأمر ربي. She said, I'm not going to do anything at all until I confer with my Lord. Until I confer with my Lord. I won't be doing anything. ما أنا بصانعة شيئا حتى أستأمر ربي. Until I consult my Lord, I won't do anything. So she went to her masjid. And the Quran came down. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then went to her without a command, or without an order. As for the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, اذكرها علي, mentioned to her me, or mention me about her, this means اخطبها لي من نفسها. عم الله عليه وأنعمت عليه أمسك عليك زوجك واتق الله وتخفي في نفسك ما الله مبديه وتخشى الناس. Behold, you did say to one who had received the grace of Allah and your favor, retain, O you Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in wedlock your wife and fear Allah. But you, O Muhammad, did hide in your heart that which Allah was about to make manifest. You did hide, O Muhammad, in yourself that which Allah was about to make manifest. وَتَخْشَ النَّاسِ, and you feared the people. وَاللَّهُ أَحَقُّ أَن تَخْشَاهُ, and Allah is more fitting and has more right than he should be feared. فَلَمَّا قَضَى زَيْدٌ مِّنْهَا وَطَرًا زَوَّجْنَاكَهَا, and when Zayd had dissolved his marriage with her, meaning with Zaynab, with the necessary formality, we joined her in marriage to you. And then Allah continues by saying, لِكَيْ لَا يَكُونَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ حَرَجٌ فِي أَزْوَاجِ أَدْعِيَائِهِمْ إِذَا قَضَوْا مِنْهُنَّ وَطَرًا وَكَانَ أَمْرَ اللَّهِ مَفْعُولًا. Then Allah ends it, the English translation, by saying, in order that in the future there may be no difficulty to the believers in the matter of marriage with the wives of their adopted sons, when the latter has dissolved with the necessary formality their marriage with them, and Allah's command must be fulfilled. And we know that this ayah was in reference to Zayd, whose name used to be Zayd ibn Muhammad. Zayd ibn Muhammad, who was the adopted son of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And this is at a time in history in Islam, in the days of Arabia, when the Quran was still coming down, alhamdulillah, to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and of course we all know that it ended with his death, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to, and other people used to have, adopted children. And this ayah came down right before adoption was made impermissible. As we know now that adoption is haram. It is not permissible to adopt children and give them your names and give them your lineage through that adoption. As for adopting a child as a foster child and not giving that child your name, then this is permissible and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So when Zayd was the adopted son of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet knew that through revelation other than the Quran, he knew that Zayd, his adopted son, of whom he loved as a son, was going to be divorced from his wife Zaynab. And that the Prophet himself knew also that he was going to marry the former wife of his formerly adopted son, whose name ended up being not Zayd ibn Muhammad, but Zayd ibn al-Haritha, which was his name given to him by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this made the Prophet worried, and this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in his book, وَاتَّقِ اللَّهَ وَتُخْفِي فِي نَفْسِكَ لَاللَّهُ مُبْدِيهِ وَتَخْشَى النَّاسِ. But you did hide in your heart that which Allah was about to make manifest. And you feared what the people, would think. But it's more fitting that Allah is أَحَقُّ أَن تَخْشَاهُ. That Allah is more befitting. In other words, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was afraid of what the people were going to think. And this is something, while we're on the subject, that is shows the tremendously high character and quality of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because he never wanted to put himself in a situation where he was made suspect, where suspicion would be crowded around him, which we call in the Arabic language shubuhat. He never wanted to draw suspicion to himself, and this is one of the reasons why he said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالظَّنْ إِيَّاكُمْ وَالظَّنْ, that beware of suspicion. And this has two basic meanings. Beware of being suspicious of other people, and number two, beware of putting yourself in suspicious circumstances or suspicious situations. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was walking with one of his wives one day, walking her home, two of the companions came walking down the street, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sahbihi wasallam said to those two men, "This is my wife." They said, "Oh, Messenger of Allah, we would never think that you were with a woman that's not your wife. We would never think that." He said that shaitan runs through the people's veins, or runs through the people as blood runs through their veins. In other words, so that no suspicion would be cast over the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at all. And secondly, the Prophet was very concerned about the believers. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is more concerned for the believers than the believers are concerned about themselves, as the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, in the same surah, in the beginning of Surah Al-Ahzab, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, النبي أولى بالمؤمنين من أنفسهم, the Prophet is closer to the believers than their own selves. The Prophet is closer to the believers than their own selves. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was concerned what the people were going to say, plus out of his extreme love for Zayd, because he knew that he was going to marry his former wife. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Zayd to her, and she said, "I will not do anything until أَسْتَأْمِرَ رَبِّي, until I consult my Lord." And then the verse came down, فَلَمَّا قَضَى زَيْدٌ مِّنْهَا وَطَرًا زَوَّجْنَاكَهَا. And then when Zayd finished with his dealings with her and divorced her in a manner that is correct, we, Allah says, married you, Muhammad, to her.